Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz closed the game on a 14-2 run to outlast and take a 2-1 lead over the Memphis Grizzlies as the Utah Jazz impressively close out in a very, very difficult ball game against the Grizzlies. We're talking about it coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by our friends at Biograss with Big Yellow Bag. The Big Yellow Bag, it makes your gardens beautiful. It does fabulous things for you. And with the promo code Locked On, you get $40 off. So go to bigyellowbag.com, enter in your zip code. It will tell you whether it can deliver. It'll bring it right to you. It comes in this bag. It's totally awesome. It's a great family Utah story, and you've got to love it. So you've got to go get your Biograss at bigyellowbag.com. All right, David Locke along with Ron Boone is the Jazz. In a game that was tied at 98, 100, 103, 105, 107, 109, and then the Jazz closed it out by scoring 14 of the final 16 points of the game and stopping the Grizzlies, I believe, on 7 of their final 8 possessions. So there's a lot of other things to talk about in this ballgame, but let's go with recency bias and let's talk about the final 5 minutes. This game was tied at 109. We go to the final 5 minutes. What did the Jazz show you in those 5 minutes?
What they showed me, they have a star player in Mitchell, who was able to get some, he got 6 straight points. Conley, his leadership out there on the floor really made a big difference there. And in the closing minutes, when you have guys that can close out games like that, Donovan knocks down a 3, but he also gets to the free throw line. You find ways to put points on the board. And for the most part, took the Grizzlies out of the game.
Mike Conley has been really, really brilliant the last 2 games. And I think a lot of it actually has to do with Donovan's return, because when Donovan's on the floor, there's so much attention that it lets Mike do what Mike needs to do.
Yeah, and Mike is very comfortable now with this basketball team. He's very comfortable with Rudy. His presence out there on the floor, it is because he can shoot the 3. You got to pay attention to him. And it just makes it awfully difficult to defend the Jazz as far as what to take away from either one of those players.
The Jazz made a significant defensive change, which I actually thought was not working. And then I now see the numbers that they got stops on 8 of the final 9 possessions. It'll be worth watching back. But the Jazz, we had kind of said numerous times in this postcast and on our broadcast that the problem with Valanciunas is that you really can't disengage with him at all. You have to stay engaged with him. And so it forced Rudy to stay back, letting Morant play in that middle area. The Jazz brought Rudy up much higher. They hit 2 shots over him. Morant and Brooks both made shots over him early. But it'll be interesting to go back and watch those final 8 possessions where the Grizzlies only score on 7 of them. Were those possessions where Rudy playing up suddenly changed the way they were able to attack? The other one I noticed in there is we've talked so much on our broadcast, if you've listened to our radio broadcast, which you should because it gives you really good information, is Morant's dominant left side, kind of okay in the middle, and then no right. The Jazz did force Morant. He did not get in his misses in that fourth quarter. He did not get all the way across to the left side. They were misses right in the middle of the paint or almost a little bit to the right, and he's so much dramatically better as he gets to the left side of the floor.
And one of the reasons, David, that your thoughts are right on as far as bringing Rudy up, if you think about that continues to bother those shots. Now, you mentioned that Brooks and Morant made a couple of floaters over Rudy, but, you know, they had to put the ball up a little bit higher in order for it to go in. They were very good shots. They're very good players. But how many lobs did they get to Valanciunas because after bringing Rudy up like that? And I think that's just the key right there. For the most part, they kind of took Valanciunas out of the play there, even though that was something that I wanted to pay a lot of attention to. Those 2 guys, you look at their numbers, rebounds are just about the same. Rudy ended up with a few more points. I think Rudy ended up with 15, Valanciunas with only 10. But what player made a bigger impact on a ball game? It was definitely Rudy Gobert.
Those numbers on Morant, by the way, on the left side of the floor this year in that kind of floater zone, he was 30 of 64, so basically 50%. In the middle of the floor, he was 47 of 120, so that's about 42%. On the right side of the floor, he only took 4 of 17 all season. He was 4 of 17. he is so great that he doesn't actually have to take that shot very often. They're not able to force him to take that shot, but you can see as he moves across, he gets much better. He didn't get as far across the lane late in the game. The other one I thought was really important this game, Ron, and there's a numerous times and kind of a big, the Jazz started brilliantly. They had the edge, and I thought Memphis really outplayed them from probably the beginning of the second quarter all the way to about the five-minute mark of the fourth. Memphis, if you were watching the game, you would have thought Memphis was a better team, but Clarkson hits a tough shot. Donovan hits a tough – we just made – Boyan hits back-to-back baseline jumpers. We just made enough plays that every time they did this, we went back. And I almost wonder if Memphis just wore out at the end.
Yeah, there were stretches in what you're talking about where it was either Conley that was doing the job or then it was Mitchell. Jordan Clarkson finally gets a stretch there. But Boyan's stretch here, I think there in the third quarter, was probably the biggest there for the Jazz because he kind of put the fire out there by the Memphis Grizzlies as they were coming. Then you get to the point where, as you mentioned earlier, about the number of ties that the Jazz – that they had in the ball game, it was just who's going to knock, you know, hit the knockout blow and win the basketball game. The Jazz were able to do that.
All right, let's go to questions. Why don't you do it in the arena? They had a watch party here tonight, and we, Ron and I are good, but we are not capable of calling the game with Bowler and Thurl coming at us and Tony Parks talking on the floor, doing a bunch of stuff. And so, no, and Jeremy Potter set us up here in the studio. It was actually our best setup of the year we've had on a road game. So very appreciative. A little scary when the TV feed went dead with 2 minutes left. And I thought we weren't getting the final 2 minutes of the game tonight. That would have been less than optimal. But, you know, we'll see. The Jazz, the game was close, and I'm glad the Jazz were able to answer that great run, Memphis. Great to see us control the whole game, though. I didn't see that, Joseph. Craig Emmert says, fun to see Donovan in clutch situations. He's really special. That three he walked into, he lined that thing up the whole time, knew exactly what he was doing.
Not only that, he drew the foul on Brooks by knocking down that three, as you just mentioned. Then the next time, Brooks is trying to make sure he was crowding him so he could challenge the shot and runs up the backside, and that's his sixth foul.
Over on Facebook or on YouTube, Adam says, exciting game, nice response for our guys to keep ahead, and the Jazz lead the series now 2-1. How can they get Clarkson going? If he starts hitting, they'll actually run away in the next game, says Dustin on YouTube. Jordan actually came around. I think by the end of the night, his box score line's not terrible because Jordan never has one half that actually leads to the – there's no like linear line of Jordan Clarkson performance. Like if it's going this way, it's just as likely to go that way. And if it's going this way, it's actually just as likely to go that way. There's no like if he does this, you expect this. You just don't know on that ride. It is truly a Busch Gardens roller coaster. But the
22 minutes.
Yeah.
5-11 from the field. He got 2-7 from the 3-point line, ended up with 15 points. You know, that's typical.
Right. His 3-point shooting is way off right now. His off the bounce 3-point shooting is way off, and Memphis is forcing him into that shot or allowing him to have that shot. And so I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he can get that going, you're right. It would be great. I hope everyone who complained about Conley in the past now sees why the Jazz really wanted him. Yeah, he's been really, really terrific in showing who he is. When do you think Mitchell will start playing more than half the game? What did he play tonight, 28?
He ended up with 30 minutes.
We're getting there.
You're getting there. He averaged 33 minutes during the course of the year, so he's definitely getting there. I would imagine that if the Jazz were in control of this ball game, they probably would have sitting a little bit longer.
The one thing I would point out is we go to every other game from here out. I think that impacted this game because Taylor Jenkins sat Ja Morant at a time which he did not sit him in when we had 2 days rest. And I think we have to keep an eye on Mike's hamstring and Donovan's ankle as we're suddenly playing every other day along the way. So that fourth gave me a heart attack. Donovan is such a great leader. Yeah, I was a little nervous. I thought there was – if that would have slipped away, it would have been really bad. There's no question on that. That would have been – if the Jazz win game four, the series is over, or is that me being overly excited? Series is over.
Excited.
No, series is over if we win game four.
I'm always a little optimistic about – but not now. I mean, you got to – Memphis is a very good basketball team. And you mentioned earlier that they're going to continue to fight. I don't think they will just give up, but I'll take our chances in five.
Amber says, I was at the game on Wednesday. I think the watch party crowd was twice as fun tonight. I was crazy impressed by how many people were here tonight. Yeah. Sound like everyone was having a blast. We were in the studio, so we couldn't be a part of it. But it did seem like it was a really fun night out there. Tony Parks and the crew did it. The Jazz game operations and marketing staff did a wonderful job with that event. Jazz defense on Ja was so much better. Head screen sometimes, went under sometimes. Says, how about them Jazz on Twitter? I like the fact he didn't get 20 free throws, Ron. The floater he is making at an alarming rate, and I don't know what it'll come out to be tonight by the end of the night. You kind of only remember the makes. He was 10 of 23, so I have a sneaking suspicion it will come back to being, you know, on two-point shots, he was 8 of 16. That's higher than he is usually. So give him credit for being great, but if we just don't put him on the free throw line 20 times, I think you're going to be all right.
He just continues to challenge Rudy. He wants to dunk on Rudy, doesn't he?
He's going to finish this series with a dunk on Rudy if it's the last thing he does. Is something wrong with Ingles? He seems invisible out there. I think, Todd, that's a fair comment in the sense that he really has been absent from two of the three games in key moments. And I don't know if there's something physically wrong with him. He walked off. We saw he could – we had an extra screen tonight. We could see a little bit more. When he walked off very slowly, head drop, kind of sulking's the wrong word for it because I don't think that has a negative connotation. I don't mean that. I'm trying to think of what the other – slow. What am I looking for? His body was just kind of, you know, droopy. And I don't know if that's because it was hurt or if he was just frustrated how he played or if he was mad that he wasn't going to be closing that night. I don't know, but there's no question if we're going to go distances in the playoffs, we're going to need more than 3 points, no rebounds, and one assist in 24 minutes out of Joe Ingles. He is too important for this basketball team for that. Grant from YouTube says, lacking some hustle, but I'm sure Eaton's passing affected that. Great teams control the stretch and pull it out down the stretch. I think the 14-2 closing run is really, you know, what we should talk about. It was pretty awesome to watch. Dylan Brooks fouls out of the game. That was a huge part of it, as the Jazz were able to make a ton of plays. And finally, the Conley, Clarkson, Ingles, Niang, Gobert lineup was a factor in the last two games. Do you think it'll be a factor in the second round? I mean, I think that'll actually give Taylor Jenkins, who I'm just so wildly impressed with in this series, he made some adjustments tonight in their rotation that took away that advantage a little bit from us. And I think that's what you have to do if you play the Jazz. Well, if you roll out your regular bench unit against our bench unit, we will throttle you. You have to make changes on that.
So just think about that unit and how they get shots. It's dribble penetration, the ball movement, three-point shot attempts, and not a lot of two-point attempts. Tonight, they were able to break the paint with Conley for the most part. Sometimes they stay home on those shots, on those, and force you into something, or like those little runners or something like Conley was shooting. But that I don't think you can defend that if you're breaking the paint and playing fast. And what I'm saying is pushing the ball up the floor and taking that early looks.
As we wrap this up, thanks for everybody for tuning in. Our thoughts are with Mark Eaton's family and his close friends. Tragic loss in the Jazz family today. For those of you who are interested in Locked On Jazz, I put out an interview I did with Thurl and Phil today. We actually were going to just use them on the broadcast. They were so good, I put them out as a podcast just so you could hear their thoughts. So our thoughts are with all the people affected. Our close friend Thurl Bailey, deeply brokenhearted. All of us very sad as well. Fortunate to have had our lives touched by Mark, and sad that it will not happen again. Our thoughts are with the Eaton family. Jazz take a 2-1 series lead. We'll be back with you Monday, Memorial Day evening game. Look forward to having it with you, and thanks for joining us on Postcast.